Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime Event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a MyLowe's Rewards or a MyLowe's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime Event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's refreshing!
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat. A place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Hello, folks. How is your plant world doing? If you'd like to talk about it, just simply give us a call, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. And as every Saturday morning, we start off with a good gardening stroll, and then after the stroll, we'll discuss what's impacting your trees or what's impacting a part of your landscape. What's impacting, oops, spire was there and they had to do a gas line change, and oh, now you got a big dirt pile. Are you going to be able to get any grass seed to grow there? Are you going to get any sod to grow there? You got a question like that? Your house plant. Oh, it's not looking so good. What are you going to do? I don't know. Well, why don't you just give a call and I'll share my knowledge and help you make a decision on what action's needed. Sometimes nothing's needed. Just leave things alone. Sometimes just get rid of the plant. So who knows? Until I hear from you. And this is your show, and I certainly appreciate you having me into your plant world. Another very important player is Drew. He's producing, so he answers the phone. He just needs your first name and not what you're calling about or anything else. He'll put it up on the computer screen, and then I'll first come, first serve. If you'd like for me to come to your plant world for an on-site consultation, I can do a walk and talk. You can go to my website, MikeMillerDesigns.com, and there's my email address and phone number. Well, let's get strolling. This walk is brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344, west off Kings Highway, into Forest Park. The first right leads down to Steinberg Ice Rink. I thought this morning, since the temperature when I first got up was below freezing, why not go to the ice rink? That sounds like fun. So as you kind of wind down into the parking lot, and then at the far end, that's where the Steinberg Ice Rink is. From a distance, you can see there's strings of LED lights, which really gave a nice icy glow to the area around there. And LED lights on the bottom of there's a whole row of upright hornbeam trees, they have lights at the bottom of them as well, on the trunk and then the very, you know, lowest branches. And there is a kind of an interesting thing. It's a metal sweater. It's red, it's lighted, and it has reindeers, has arch, fleur-de-lis, snowflakes, and then it says hashtag STL made. So the sign, and so it was kind of interesting. I've never seen anything that, you know, kind of like that. So it was real unusual for me. There's a sign there that reminds you, no use of the skating surface without prior authorization. So I was going to jump over the fence and go sliding around on the ice, but I couldn't do it because I wasn't prior authorized. There's a whole row of new picnic tables in the rubber matted area. So that's coming out of the building. So the rubber matted areas is so you can walk a little bit easier on your ice skates. There's a pine tree that's planted with the ornamental grasses underneath it. There's bald cypress and boxwood, which are being hugged by liriope. And I was sniffing. I smell smoke. And yes, smoke was rising from last night's fire pit, which keep people warmer. So there's benches around the fire pit and a whole pile of firewood is laying nearby. So they're ready to do it. Lots of joggers out. This was a little bit before 7 this morning. I was really kind of, it was a little bit after 7, let's put it that way. It's probably like, but anyway, how many joggers there were out in this part of Forest Park that early in the morning? And some did have their dogs with them. The dogs looked like they were having fun. They were heading down the trails. There was all sorts of birds out. And it was just kind of nice to hear the birds tweeting a little bit. I didn't see any squirrels, so I don't know. Maybe Forest Park has banned squirrels or something. Who knows? There's all kinds of other trees that are still hanging on to their leaves, not just here in Forest Park, but as I look out the window looking west from 13th Street, basically, there is a lot of leaves still having to fall, and same with the neighborhood. The sky was getting brighter, so that sort of indicated to me that it's time to head towards KMOX. So again, if you have any questions, concerns, or comments, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. And your house plants, as I walk through the neighborhood, some people just, I guess they didn't really want their house plants anymore or their tropicals or whatever. And, they had already gotten some damage. So I'm sure tonight, or last night rather, kind of sent them all the way downhill. Probably root system may not have been damaged, but anything above the ground, you know, or above the potting mix was. And so again, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages. Yes, folks, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's start off with Teresa's yard. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, how are you, Mike? Thanks for your show.
Sure.
So I have a row of leather leaf plants that are in between my yard and my neighbor's, and I didn't realize the other day until I walked on their side that I had a bunch of weeds growing. I don't know what kind of weed it is. It can grow into sort of a tree if you don't catch it after a while. And so I chopped them down, but I'm wondering if there's something I can put on them, probably not now, but maybe in the spring, because I've got a few little stumps, if you will, that I could put on them to kill them. I see there's a root system to them. It's a weed that has a leaf that's, I don't know, a couple inches long, and it's pointy at each end, and it can bear red berries of some sort.
Could be honeysuckle.
No, it's not honeysuckle.
Hmm.
But I know of Roundup, but I was trying to think if there was something else that I might be able to put on these little stumps to stop them from growing again in that area.
Well, probably the best thing to do is if you're going to put any kind of a stump killer or whatever you choose, make a fresh cut and then paint it right onto that open cut that you just made. Because if you put it on this, let's say the stumps that are left over from you cutting the things down recently, it's not going to be absorbed. And so you've got to make a fresh cut. You know, a fresh cut's going to make it a lot more effective.
Okay. All right. I guess I'll wait till the spring then and see, you know, as they start to grow again, which I'm sure they will. see if I can. But is there anything else besides Roundup that you would think of?
Yeah, just go to your favorite garden center and tell them you're trying to kill some woody stumps.
Okay.
And they may have all kinds of different products.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Sure.
Have a great day.
Yeah, and if you decide to use the Roundup, make sure you get the Roundup for killing woody plants, and it'll be called Poison Ivy Woody Plant Killer. And now let's head over to Ron's yard. Hi, Ron.
Hey, Mike. I've got a 30-year-old Japanese maple that's been great, just too big. I want to cut it back. Can you severely cut that back and then have it grow again next year?
Basically not. Something that's that old is just, it doesn't, let's say the stumps of the limbs and everything that are left don't have any functional buds or the ability to produce any functional buds along the woody, you know, parts, segments, branches, trunks, whatever, that are left. So you're just going to end up with pretty much nothing. I mean, it will put out, you know, a little bit, but it's never going to return to being aesthetically whatever it is right now.
All right. So in other words, dig it up and get rid of it and get something new in there.
Right. Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Sure. My pleasure. Yeah. And whatever you choose or, you know, just, you know, obviously this one's overgrown its space, but you've 30 years, you've had a, you know, quite a substantial amount of time of that. So I would say if you want to get another Japanese maple and put it in there another 30 years, well, by that time you could probably care less. But anyway, let's go to Lydia.
Lydia, yeah.
Lydia.
Our son has mountain giant arborvitae around his swimming pool. And two of those are dead, and the third one is, I think, dying. So can he trim the part that's brown, or will it survive or not?
It all depends on how much brown it is. Are these recently?
I would say about one third.
Oh, no. It's probably not going to be able to recover from that.
So okay. So we just have to replace it later,
right.
Whenever.
Yeah,
right?
Well, you know, when it's, they get that brown, and I don't know if who installed it, how long they've been in or anything else, but it doesn't sound like it might not, or I don't think I'd probably replace it with more arborvitae. I'd probably, you know, when he goes to the garden center, ask him what they might suggest.
Oh, I see. Yeah, because, you know, he has like 13 of those things around his swimming pool, and everything else, it looks fine, but three died, and they are not continuous. Three of them.
Ah,
party. You know, I don't know how to describe it, but
right.
Okay. All right, I'll tell them. Thank you.
Yep. Yeah, it's arborvitae are pretty tough, but you know, in that kind of circumstance, it's not a good sign once they start going downhill. Let's head over to Mary Ann's. Hi, Mary Ann.
Good morning, Mike.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I enjoy your program every week. I have two large crepe myrtle. They're probably about 9 or 10 feet tall. And all of a sudden, the leaves have turned sort of a silvery gray, and they're just heart crisp. And I don't recall that happening before. Is that a normal thing?
Well, I mean, not necessarily normal, but it could be just a result of the weather more so than anything else. But, you know, if that's how they are, when did they start turning, let's say, go from green to this, what you're describing?
Well, just this fall.
Oh.
I have two others that are planted further down the hill, and they're still green.
Yeah, it's just the exposure of this one. It sounds like it's pretty old, so it's had multiple years. And
yes.
So, you know, what's happened in this particular circumstance, the only thing I can think of it is had to be, you know, it's exposure. That and slash our weather is what made this happen to this particular one.
I guess you're right on in age, because these plants are at least 20 years old.
Right. So if you've had that much time with it, and yeah, I mean, it is discouraging when you start, when they start doing something that's really kind of odd or rare or whatever. But it could have been, you know, who knows what. But
I just wondered if I should expect them to come back in the spring.
Well, you could get, you know, I wouldn't necessarily cut it out or get rid of it or anything and see what happens.
Okay.
And well, especially because you had, I'm assuming it was flowering and everything else, the foliage was good, and then all of a sudden it went downhill.
Now, I will say the flowering wasn't as good as it has been in previous years.
Right.
But it did flower.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Sure.
You've answered my question. Have a good day.
Well, yes. Same here.
Enjoy your show.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me on your show. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Continue mowing your lawns, even though it was like super cold, not super cold, but cold. Your cool season lawns, your fescues and bluegrasses are going to continue to grow. And your zoysia, I'm dropping my mower blade down to 2 inches, and I'm going and I've already cut my backyard. I'm going to cut the front yard either today, well, maybe. It'll be a nice day to be out there. I mean, it's so bright and sunny right now, and it's going to get up in the upper 50s, so I may cut part of it if I don't cut all the front yard, and like down to 2 inches. So I don't like to cut it any closer than that, but also what I do at the same time is, since we got all the three maples, since we're on a corner, we have three maple trees that are street trees. They finally all have dropped 95% of their leaves. And so the last, you know, I've been bagging them up and raking them and everything else. And this should be the final one as far as from the maple trees around our house. Now, with Christie Park right across the street, there is still a heck of a lot of leaves on those trees. And then when the southwest winds start blowing, that's when I have another attitude of like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe how many more leaves are in the yard. But that's, you know, kind of the nice thing about living across from a park. You have 6 or 7 months of great foliage and everything else, good fall color. And then when they fall, well, that's just the way it goes. So that's, you know, just kind of the fun part of nature in general, although it is, you know, somewhat a lot of work. Let's head over to Christie's. Hi, Christie.
Messy fans, Lowe's Messy Halftime Event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a MyLowe's Rewards or MyLowe's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messy moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messy Halftime Event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, absolutely refreshing!
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat. A place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
See.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, very good.
I have two fringe trees in my backyard, and they get plenty of sun, and I believe they're about 3 years old. They've never flowered. Is there some kind of fertilizer in the spring or something I'm supposed to do to encourage them to flower?
No. It's probably age as much as anything. So in other words,
mature enough.
Yeah, exactly.
And any idea how old?
I would say probably you're looking at maybe another year or two before you're going to start to see any kind of flowers. Cause
okay,
I don't know.
Good, because they're kind of spindly. I won't give up then.
Yeah, it's a lot of plants are that way. Clematis vines are that way. Several things, you know, have to get, let's say, mature before they flower. And sometimes when things are young and small, if they do flower, it stresses them out and it causes them more problems than, you know, the sort of the aesthetic value you're going to get out of them. Now, what size pot did these come in?
I don't know. I don't remember. Sorry.
So, well, how tall?
But now they're about 5 or 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
Growing.
So everything that can happen is happening. So as long as they're healthy, as long as there's foliage and everything else, then it's just going to be a matter of time.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Appreciate your show.
Sure. Thank you for having me on your show. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. We'll be back after these messages. Remember your houseplants. This is the time of year where you want to back off, except on some of them as far as fertilizing goes. So reduce or eliminate fertilizer until the days start getting longer, which the days are still getting, you know, shorter. And watch out as far as watering goes with your houseplants, too. Too much water can do some major damage, especially in their plastic pots. And if you have your houseplants and they're relatively new, just make sure that you've got drainage holes in the bottom so the water just doesn't build up. And what do you think you can do? Well, my mother and grandmother used to just take their houseplants, put them in the kitchen sink, and then run water down through them until they finally totally drained out. And then they put them back on, in the location, the sunny location or wherever they happen to be. Personally, I just put a saucer underneath them, and that's, you know, should be fine. With your outdoor, you know, your hoses and everything else, when it's cold and you have to roll up your hoses because you want to store them away for the wintertime, it's really difficult. They get really stiff. And so you have to kind of lay them out in the sun so the sun will warm them up. And keep that in mind. Things that are blooming houseplant-wise, maybe a recent purchase or one that you've had for a while, then you can go ahead and continue to, you know, do watering, put it in regardless of the type. Some of them will survive and pretty nicely, like Sansevieria or snake plant in a lower light location, but they don't have to be in lower light. With all the, with the falling leaves and everything else, if you have trees overhanging your roof, watch out for the gutters getting full of foliage if you don't have gutter protectors. And if you do, just still check it out, because even with the gutter protection, sometimes their leaves can work their way in, and just kind of keep that in mind. Let's head over to John's yard now. Hi, John.
Hello, Mike.
Hi.
I have a question about leaves. We have enough of them that I don't want to let them on the ground. I have been vacuuming them, and the bag tends to get heavy, and I get tired of carrying that around. So I took the bag off, and I just let the leaves, as they leave the vacuum, on the ground. Is that going to hurt the grass?
Yes. It's not a guarantee, but what it does is create a humid situation, And with our, you know, humidity factors in relationship to lawn, that's one of the worst problems that our lawns have here is humidity. And the humidity creates fungus, and fungus kills lawns. So that's where the trouble comes.
So my grass is going to go dead then next year.
Well, it could certainly go downhill, let's put it that way.
Yeah. Well, so I have to put the bag back on the thing. Yeah. Well, I've already done the deed, so there's no way to make it good, huh?
Well, you can go back out there and suck them up.
Actually, I don't see any leaves on the ground. You know, it's all fine stuff.
Right.
What about fertilizer? Is that going to help it?
No, definitely not. So, I mean, if what I do with my leaves, I rake some of them, but also I have a mulching mower, and I, you know, every other time I mow, when the leaves start falling, I bag them and then take them to the yard waste dumpster. But then the next time that I mow, I don't necessarily bag them. So that's, you know, I mean, as long as there's not a whole lot of debris there, the fungus problems are not going to be quite as drastic as if you can, you know, if you're not seeing the lawn at all.
No, I don't see anything except the green grass.
you should be okay, and you know, just make sure that it doesn't pile up to a certain, you know, to a certain point where you don't see the grass anymore.
Well, those leaves I bagged, I put over along the edge of a building for mulch.
Oh,
and that seemed to do. I hope that will do well.
Right. What kind of plants are growing in that area?
Ivy.
Oh. Something like ivy can have fungus problems, so just make sure that the ivy's not buried.
Uh-huh. All right. Thank you, Mike.
Sure, my pleasure.
Sure, yeah. Goodbye.
Yep, and we do have phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Speaking of mulch, around trees and shrubs, you don't want any mulch depth-wise more than 4 inches. So if you've already have a couple inches, then you're just going to add a couple more inches to get it up to 4 inches. So don't necessarily put fresh mulch down all the time because, again, it's a circumstance where it could cause more trouble than what it's doing good. Also, when you're getting mulch, get them from, like, St. Louis Composting, places that know how to make mulch work. Because let's say you've had a tree removed or a neighbor has had a tree removed, and the company, which is, I mean, this is what they do, they grind the stump out or they run the pieces of branches and things like that through a chipper, and then you think, well, gee, isn't that mulch? No, it isn't. Something fresh wood like that from a tree that's been recently cut or just shrubs, you know, woody, you know, pieces of anything laid on top of the ground cause trouble because as this wood starts biodegrading, it binds up nutrients. It causes all kinds of trouble just in general. And that's what, you know, you just have to watch out for. So mulch is just not organic materials. It's organic materials that have been turned, that have been worked. There is a whole process involved with it. It's not just simply putting organic material down. It's just, it kind of goes back, not quite like, you know, a pile of leaves being mulch, but it can really do more trouble or more harm than good. When you're working, let's say, in your soil, your vegetable garden or your annual bed space, adding, you know, a couple inches of compost every couple of years, every year or two, is really smart. You still have time to, you're really on the cusp as far as doing any kind of core aeration onto your lawn, on your cool season lawns, definitely not onto your warm season lawn. You don't want to do that at all. But a cool season lawn with our crazy weather, it's just what you do is it pulls these plugs up out of the ground, and that exposes then the root system, which is just, you know, a couple inches down, the feeder roots for your lawn. And if we get a really severe cold snap, not like last night, let's say this it really only got below 1 or 2 degrees below freezing, at least, you know, our my outdoor thermostat said that's what the temperature was. So just be real cautious about juggling things this time of year so you can be to the advantage of your plant material and not to the disadvantage. If you do have, let's say, a water garden, hopefully if there's trees that are dropping leaves, you should put some netting across that. And especially if you have koi or any kind of fish in your water garden, because leaf debris falling down into the water can cause some really adverse impacts onto your, you know, onto your fish. So keep that in mind. And let's see. If you have any bulbs left, any tulips, you still can get those into the ground, but do it as soon as you possibly can. Your daffodils and crocus and things like that should have been planted earlier, but if you didn't get them into the ground, then go ahead and get them planted. The reason why those you want to get into the ground sooner is because they need to have warmer soil to start triggering root growth, which will consequently make it so they will be flowering next spring. If you have some tulips and you want to try to grow them, or some daffodils or crocus, grow them in pots inside. Yes, use potting mix and pot them up and put them in a, you know, in a location, and just kind of you want the soil to be damp. You don't want to have it wet because you can rot the bulbs even inside. So just kind of keep that in mind.
Bright light city, gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher.
Guess what, folks? There are perennial weeds for sure, but don't forget about those cool season annual weeds. They germinated last August. They've been growing. They've been dropping seeds, things like henbit and dead nettle. They're related to lamium, which is a perennial that you want to have as a ground cover, but the henbit and dead nettle, they are just prolific. Another cool season annual weed is chickweed. There's an annual bluegrass. And those are the things, and there's several other ones too, speedwell also. So get those things under control with using a pre-emergent. For those weeds, the cool season weeds, you're going to be putting the pre-emergent down in mid to late August. Now, okay, that's a ways away, of course. August was just over our shoulder. But there are warm season weeds. So I'm just sort of like throwing this out for you to just kind of keep in mind that you don't necessarily have to go out and get the pre-emergent right now, but realize the warm season annual weeds, they start germinating when the yellow forsythia is in bloom. And that includes ragweed, knotweed, purslane, carpetweed, crabgrass, barnyard grass, goosegrass, foxtail, and several other things too. So these annual weeds are sometimes really prolific as far as being problems for lawn circumstances. Let's head over to Donna's yard. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Got two questions for you
today.
I'm planning to plant a bare root dogwood, which is going to be a small little thing. And I know you always tell us to put it in a container in the ground, and then I'll plant it, I guess, next fall in the ground. But my question is, I'm going to use half of my own soil, but I would like to mix the other half with a mixture of what the, they call it the tree and shrub soil. It's a formula of 9-5-7, and it has a little bit extra iron in it. Is that okay to use on a small bare root tree to mix it?
Are you doing this right now?
Yeah, I will. I haven't gotten the tree yet. I ordered it. Yeah.
Okay. I would be very cautious about putting any kind of, you know, bare root or really any plant in anything that has fertilizer with it.
Oh.
Because it can cause some, you know, some major trouble. So
really?
Just kind of watch out for that. So I would be very cautious.
So you think I shouldn't use it at all then?
Yeah, not if it's got fertilizer mixed in with it, no.
Okay. Also, well, because it is going to be a little thing, a twig probably.
Right.
You know, last year we had that terribly cold spell. I am concerned about it, where to put it in the yard. I'm planning, I guess, to put it closer to the house just for wind protection and from the cold. I guess, is that okay? And then I could also move it when it's time to put it out in its designated spot, I guess. Is that advisable, I guess?
Yeah, just make sure that if you're talking about once you put it into a pot, then where are you going to sink the pot? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
So I would leave it in the pot for maybe 1 or 2 years to just make sure it leaves out and everything else rather than rushing to get it planted in the ground someplace.
Okay.
So, and just if you do put it, sink it into a bed space, then you just want the top inch or so of the pot above the surrounding ground. You want to make sure that you moisten it. And the pot you're putting it in has drainage holes in the bottom, so even though it's down in the ground, it should, you know, be able to be drained out. And then just leave it there for a couple years, and just make sure that you don't put it underneath the eave of your roof, because that could prevent rain and all that kind of natural watering circumstance from helping it get established.
Okay. Okay, well, my other question is this. I have a small puppy dog that loves to eat cedar mulch, and that's what I have outside in my garden. And now I've had to, you know, put all kinds of fencing around to keep her from getting in there. I was wanting to know, have you seen in these big box stores this outside green carpeting type material? It's used for... It's similar to, I guess, the golf course material. It's porous. And I thought maybe I could cut pieces circular and put it around these bushes and whatnot so she doesn't eat the mulch. Have you ever heard of anything of doing something like that?
Not really. So I'm surprised that if... The dog likes cedar mulch. Maybe just try a different type of mulch.
Well, I have a jig. I have a big bag I used.
Oh, okay.
She just eats everything. I mean, it's not just mulch. It's rocks. It's everything. You know, she destroys my yard pretty much. But I thought perhaps I could use that material. It's not real heavy.
Right.
And just enough to protect the roots. It would serve as a blanket just for the winter. I thought, you know.
Right, but I mean, mulch has several factors as far as like your buffering temperatures, but also as it biodegrades, it adds good quality stuff into your soils. So that's, you know, and if you're just putting in, let's say, a plastic barrier down, let's say like AstroTurf or something, then it's not going to, you know, it's not going to be to the advantage.
Well, right. I was planning to leave the mulch and then cover the mulch with this green barrier.
Well, I guess, sure, you could do that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try that because this dog is driving me crazy. She just eats everything, destroys everything.
Well, maybe, and after maybe one season or so, she'll stop, you know, chewing on whatever, and you won't have to fool with it again.
I'm praying for for that day to come. Okay, Mike, thank you. I really appreciate your help.
Sure,
have a
my
good day.
Pleasure. And Bill and Julie, I don't think we can probably squeeze you in, so just kind of keep that in mind. If you have any plan, you know, we'll talk to you after the news at the top of the hour. And if you have any plants that have been, woody plant materials that have been installed within the last 2 years, just realize that I don't know when the last rain we had that was measurable, but it's been a while. And the ground is really very, very dry. So newly installed plant material, you need to keep, watering. And if you've already turned off your faucets for outside, then you're going to have to just take buckets of water from inside. I leave one of my faucets going until it gets later into the wintertime. So if I need to do something. Mike Miller, KMOX, Garden Hotline.
Messy fans, Lowe's Messy Halftime Event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a MyLowe's Rewards or a MyLowe's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messy moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messy Halftime Event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's really refreshing!
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.